Hello. Well, good evening, world famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, and of course, TuneIn. And on TuneIn, you can dial us in or tune us in or suck us in or, well, do whatever you want there. I don't want to characterize what it is you do, but you're pulling us in, okay? You're pulling it. You're pulling it and us, and you're bringing it in on TuneIn, and you can check us out no matter where you are. I don't care. Doesn't make any difference now. There was a time back in the day, in the early days of cell phones, that they had a thing, a service, a cell phone. I forget the name of it now. But it was a wild thing. What was the name of that phone?
What did it do?
It claimed to be able to get you connected no matter where you were in the world. And I want to use the name, I want to say Iridium, but that's a
Iridium, my God, that's a radioactive element.
Yeah, I know. It was something like that. But this was a phone, and they went bankrupt. And they spent a lot of money marketing it. A lot of you guys, especially those of you who are tech geeks and were very familiar with the early versions of cell phone and mobile phone technology, you may remember this phone. And they claimed that you could be on top of the Himalayas and you could connect to anybody in the world with this phone. And what they found out was that while you could connect to anybody in the world with from the Himalayas, it was a little bit of a different story if you were in the city someplace. Then all of a sudden, you know...
Yeah, you couldn't get nobody. I remember that phone.
Do you remember this?
Yeah, it's like a big brick phone.
Oh, the big brick phones. Everyone knows those.
No, but this was more than just the big old brick phone. This was a phone that had made all these claims. And I'm reminded now, it's funny how things have changed so rapidly, we forget these phases that we went through. But the phone thing was really funny. The whole thing with the phones. I remember I was at the NBA Finals in Detroit. I was at the 1988 NBA Finals. It was June. It was 88. And there I was with a mobile phone. And I thought this was just fantastic. And they had sent me the radio station I was working for at the time, KLSX, here in Los Angeles. And we were playing classic rock at the time, and I was the morning guy. And they sent me back to Detroit with the Lakers. And I traveled with the Lakers to Detroit for one of the road games. And in any event, make a long story short, I thought it was so cool. I was there in the stands, and I was calling the station, and, hi, this is Phil Hendry, and you could actually hear the crowd, see? Isn't this cool? Because before this, all you had were payphones, literally. I mean, you had nothing other than a payphone. Now you could sit in the crowd, you can hear the cheers, and I even called friends of mine. I must have run up a bill on that phone that was pretty significant. That was the beginning of the cell phone or the mobile phone craze. I shouldn't call it mobile because there were mobile phones in cars, you know.
Yeah, your dad had one, didn't he?
Yeah, my dad had one of those radio phones. Anybody out there remember their dad with a radio phone? Did your father, a lot of the guys that worked in construction, guys that needed to be in touch with their crew or guys that needed to be in touch with other members of their effort, their company, and they were mobile, you often saw those guys with those antennas, you know?
Well, are you talking about the police?
No, not the police, but...
No, General, other regular people.
Regular people? You mean the average person had this radio telephone technology?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, and why? Is that bad?
Well, I would think that it would be of concern, given the number of people that like to fool around and act like idiots, you know, and try to jam the signal and otherwise do harm as we're trying to get things done.
Okay, your voice is drying out.
Yes, I know.
All right, and so, well, I don't think that happened, General. My dad had one of those mobile phones, and it had the antenna. He always knew a guy with a mobile phone because he had the antenna in the middle of the trunk, at the back of the car. You saw that weird antenna that was there. Aha, that guy's got a, or that's a cop. That was a sure giveaway that was a cop, like a, you know.
Other than the fact that it was a black and white?
Yeah, other than the fact that if you missed that detail... You know,
you didn't see all the black and white, man. You'd be deaf, dumb, and blind.
Yeah, he's kidding.
I know he's kidding.
No, you don't. You're
all right. Take it easy. I know. He knows I'm kidding. I am kidding, and you know I'm. You know he knows that I know. Okay.
Well,
I'm kidding. So, yeah. So these mobile phones, man. So this thing came out, this phone that I was talking about, this brick, this thing that you could go to the Himalayas with, and it was suddenly very evident to all concerned, that's fine, and isn't that wonderful that we can actually call from the Himalayas, but here's a better idea. How about if I'm just able to call across the street? And that proved to be a slightly more difficult problem.
Well, what was the problem? You're saying that, that the phone was ineffective for simple calls, but if you wanted to call from the Himalayas.
Yeah.
Now, why would anyone want to call from the Himalayas? Excuse me, I know my voice cracked.
Yeah, and water's not helping it, huh?
Well, I'll get it figured out, but why would anyone want to call from the Himalayas?
All right, well, people wouldn't want to call from the Himalayas. It was a selling point. It was a selling point. It was they would say this about the phone, and they would say, ha-ha, look at this. This is a mobile phone. This thing's fantastic. It'll contact you from the Himalayas, Jack.
It will.
Yes, and a person has to use it. Wow.
What did you think, bud?
You're saying a phone can dial itself.
No, the phone can't dial itself. No, you're right. I'm sorry. I should have pointed that out, bud. Thank you. The phone couldn't dial itself. You had to call.
Yeah, because you did say it would call.
Yeah, I know. I did say it would call. No, no. That would be something for the future, you know, technocrats of the world to work out, that your phone will actually call for you.
Well, what's so funny about that? That seems mentally deficient.
What seems mentally deficient about? Imagine if you had a phone that would call 911 for you if you couldn't call it yourself.
Well, I mean, you mean if it's not there?
Yeah, if your phone's not there. And you're in trouble, and your phone would...
Well, how would the phone sense this? The only reason that I would think... Do you remember that poor boy that had his arms... Well, I don't want to say.
What?
Oh, don't bring that. There's a poor boy that lost his arms in a farming accident. And this poor kid that literally had to dial the phone. Oh, I don't even... It's...
Oh, I remember that young man. He had to dial the phone with a pencil.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Really?
Yeah, with a phone like that, he'd just say, hey, phone. You know, I got no arms now, so go ahead and make the call. And...
All right. Thank you very much for clearing that up. Welcome to the program tonight, folks. We've got a fire here in the L.A. area. I'm not going to go into any great detail on this. We will have Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police here in just a moment. We have had, I believe, 4 people injured. 1 woman and 2 firefighters sustaining, so that's 3, minor injuries as of this report, which I just now did download. And I am hoping that it will remain that way. Jay will be with us to give us some update on, and I told you it was hot, and with the heat comes the dry, and with the dry comes the, whatever, comes the fire. Now they've made an arrest, they've made 3 arrests. According to according to Chief Staub, of the Los Angeles, actually the chief of the Glendora Police Department, Chief Tim Staub, he said at a news conference these people were apologetic. So let me give you this from the beginning. The chief of the Glendora Police, Tim Staub, and by the way, to the guy on Facebook who was writing from Santa Monica the following, and I quote, where's Glendora? That a way to really telegraph that you're brand spanking new to town, man, and you can't find your ass with both hands. Glendora's out there in the sort of the northeastern part of the county, should you, you know, need to get out there. Anyway, this fast-moving brush fire erupted on Thursday morning. This morning, it's quickly burned 1,700 acres. There were structures affected. There were homes that were evacuated. The police in Glendora said that 3 men had been arrested in connection with the blaze. They're calling it the Colby Fire, which broke out just before 6 a.m. In the Angeles National Forest. The chief of Glendora Police said at a news conference the 3 men had apparently been camping in the Angeles National Forest. At least 1 man told detectives they'd been tossing pieces of paper into a campfire when a breeze kicked up and nearby brush caught fire. The men are cooperating with police. The men, Clifford Henry, Jonathan C. Jarrell, and Stephen Aguirre, were arrested on charges of recklessly starting a fire and were being held on a $20,000 bail. I just heard that they made bail. And they are out. Mr. Aguirre identified himself as homeless. Chief Staub said the man who did discuss the blaze was apologetic. And as I mentioned, the 3 people that are injured. All right, we'll be back here with more of this. Jay Santos, Citizens Auxiliary Police, will come on and talk a little bit with us about, you know, fire abatement. And we're not going to get specific with this.
Well, he'll come on and give some advice. Is that right?
Yes, exactly. World-famous Phil Henry Show. And by the way, Margaret, you've been rehearsing for the one-man show, right?
I didn't... Oh, for God.
I'm not supposed to say nothing.
sorry. I mean,
I wanted it to be a big surprise. What a clown act you are.
All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Hey, welcome back to the Phil Hendry Show. And I just realized we can't bring Jay Sanis on tonight.
Why is that?
Well, we can't bring him on in this segment. We do have a malfunctioning phone. Now, we can bring Jay on by way of one or two other lines that we have, but we're going to have to do that, folks, in our next segment. So I apologize. We do have a bit of a malfunction. We had Verizon over here today. What the hell was the problem with Verizon today?
Yeah, they come over today, and I know.
Wait a minute. I'll tell him. You have a ISDN line, Phil, and they'd come over to recalibrate or whatever.
Oh, that's right. Thank you, Verizon. Verizon was charging the Phil Hendry Show and associated production facilities. They were charging us about $2,000 a month for this ISDN line, and I found out from people in the know that we were getting bent over, if you will.
Well, that's a very crude way of putting it.
It's a very crude way of putting it, but fairly accurate. And we said, well, no, that's not going to happen. So I think what happened was they had a tech over here, and they were doing something. But in the process, of course, now we're saving money on our ISDN line, and now our newsmaker line is not working. But we will have Jay Sanis on in the coming segment to talk with us a little bit about this fire. Now, the other guest that we're going to have this evening is Bob Green. He also is subject to the same restrictions and proscriptions that we're experiencing tonight.
Quit talking all fancy and everything.
Yeah, Phil, I notice you're getting fancy.
What do you mean he's getting fancy?
I've got our proscriptions.
Yeah, I love it when Dickman mocks. Go ahead, Dickman, do it.
Yeah, the proscriptions.
All right, you want me to belch you? Because I will.
Dad, man, you're all talking big.
I'm talking big, huh? Am I using words that are too big, too many syllables? Okay, fine.
Well, you told me about the time that guy almost got in a fight with him.
What guy I almost got in a fight with?
You were talking before the program about some lummox, some meathead at a party that objected to the word that you used.
Oh, that guy was a long time ago, long, long time ago. I was at a party. And I used a word like rendezvous. It was something that, to me, is not a big word. This dumbass, I'm telling you, this dumbass who looked like he was ready to, he looked like he was ready to throw down at a second's notice. Looked like he was in a bad mood. And I used this word, he goes, rendezvous, what's that mean? And he's looking around at people trying to get a little bit of a witness on how messed up I am because I used like a three-syllable word or four-syllable word and all he knows are two and one. He's got cat down, he's got mom me, and anything more than that.
Yeah, what happened?
Nothing. I just looked at the guy like he was some freak, and I walked outside, and he followed me out, and I had to beat the crap out of him. Now, I...
Did you really?
No, nothing happened. I'll tell you why nothing happened, because he was the brother of the people that were hosting the party, so...
Right. Is that so? You didn't fight the guy because, yeah, right, Hendry. He probably would have kicked your ass around the block for drill.
Maybe. He was a big guy. I mean, I'm not. What is it with you guys?
Well, you're talking all about when you talk about a big word.
Guys, I'm going to quote. I better not say who I'm quoting. I'll just tell you this: that a word, an unusual word, is like an unusual music chord, like A diminished. A diminished is an unusual chord, but it makes beautiful music. I see language the same way. It may be an unusual word, but it makes beautiful music. Hit it, bud.
Hey, Mr. Henry, very good. I'm convinced.
Thank you. Bob Green's going to be on with us as we continue our discussion of the paranormal into the night. What happened to Mr. Green in Canada, I don't believe, but he'd like us to believe that he was, quote-unquote, assaulted by Bigfoot or a Sasquatch or Bigfoot type creature. I don't know what it is. I personally don't believe that Bigfoot exists, as I've said to you. I think it's time to bring some sense back into this, you know.
What do you mean bring some sense? So because people like Art Bell and George Norrie believe it, or at least give dignity to people that believe these things, you will not.
No, it's not that I don't want to give them dignity. I think it's time to bring some insanity back.
You said insanity.
I said sanity.
No, it was a Freudian slip. Now, look, Phil,
I did say sanity, General.
All right, but let's look at this. You want to reintroduce the restrictions on the imagination and the curiosity of mankind because you do not believe personally in the existence of the what is the thing? It's called Largefoot?
Bigfoot.
Of the Bigfoot. Now, I don't know whether Bigfoot exists. I don't know whether what is the thing?
What?
What, General?
The Squatch. The Squash?
No, that's not, it's the same thing, Sasquatch.
Well, what's the abominable snowman?
The abominable snowman is the same thing as a Sasquatch, same thing as a big. It's the same creature, only in different continents.
It's the same creature, only on different continents. Is that what you just said?
Yes, yes, that's what I said.
All right. Well, I think these things, though unusual, deserve our scrutiny and deserve our curiosity and even our study and research. And I don't think you can out of hand dismiss these things.
I'm not out of hand dismissing it. If you think about it, there has been no evidence whatsoever. No evidence whatsoever.
Wait a minute. What about that film that shows a big ape running through the weeds?
Yes, that's a good point. I saw the film footage. It looked like an 8mm film of what looked like a large ape on two legs. So it wasn't like a regular ape, but it was a big ape. It was strolling, so it looked human, you know?
Oh, sure. Sure, it looked human. Yeah, you put an ape costume on a man, he's going to look like he's walking like a man.
No, Phil. No.
This is the skepticism that Mr. Henry brings to the discussion that he thinks is healthy, and I say, no, sir. I think the big ape, it's called Big Ape.
Bigfoot!
All right, I'm sorry, I don't know the name of it.
Bigfoot is the name of it. I'm willing to believe in anything, man, where you can lay a little bit of proof on me. That's all I'm asking. If you call me a skeptic, of course, everybody should be skeptical, folks, unless the evidence leads you to an eventual conclusion that's provable. See, the evidence is, well, wow, maybe there's a Bigfoot. And for the longest time, of course, I wanted to believe that, just like everybody else. I wanted to believe that the Bermuda Triangle was a real metaphysical or paranormal or whatever you want to call it, event. But there just has never been any evidence presented to that. And so anyway, that's what I'm going to be talking about. Now, Bob Green tonight is going to be with us. He's a fairly down-to-earth guy.
Well, Bob Green is a man who has a lot of issues. He's about 5'7", going on 8 feet tall. Well, he is, Phil, and he has issues with women, he has issues with minorities, and now he has an issue with what you think is a non-existent creature. I think there's every possibility it does exist, but he claims that it manhandled him or otherwise assaulted him biblically. All right?
Well,
now hold on, I'm not done yet. Assaulted him biblically. See? And this is where our paths diverge, mine and Mr. Green's.
And mine, okay.
No, your path diverged from his way before it diverged from anyone else's, because you don't even believe in it.
Yeah, that's right. You don't even believe in the existence of the foot. And so the...
It's called Bigfoot.
What did I say?
You call it the foot.
It's called the Bigfoot.
I'm sorry. You don't even believe in the existence of the Bigfoot. And so your path not only diverges from his, but you won't even come into his neighborhood because of what is the stench of his thinking, you see? That's what I take exception to.
Yeah, okay, General. You know, make any kind of a weird statement you want.
Well, what's weird about that?
Oh, come on. Nonetheless, we will have Bob Green on. He'll talk about that. Jay Sanis will give us the update there on the thing, the fire. Now, don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. We'd like you to visit and become a Backstage Pass member. This is the only way you can really get the full sniffing smell, the aromatic, the whole, you know.
Yes, just the wafting scent.
Yeah, just the whole scent of the Phil Henry Show. By the way, I saw we're running the Kevin Pollak interview that he did with me, and there's an ad before that, and I'm telling you, all bets are off, all the barriers are down. This is an ad. It's an online ad. A beautiful redheaded British woman sitting in a bathroom stall talking about wiping and what is the best wipe.
Blah, talk about, like, wiping her nose.
No.
No, she's talking about wiping her rear end. I watched it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, you're kidding.
No, she is. She's right there. So, Margaret, I owe you an apology. You with all of your bathroom talk. There it is, this lady.
I don't talk about wiping after a... I don't talk about after a bowel movement.
I can hear... The people can hear that, okay? You whispering, they can hear it.
Did you hear it?
Yes, I heard it. All right, we're going to come back here in just a moment here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with our deep, close, personal friend, Mr. Green.
Mr. Green Jean.
That's not funny.
And also, we're going to be talking...
You're talking about the foot, or not the foot, the big thing, the big...
The big foot, man. We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show. Back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Robert Green with us from Buena Park, California, and hopefully, Bob, this is going to work out. We have you on one of our alternate lines here. I don't know if Bob is there or not. Is Bob there?
Yeah, Mr. Green, are you there? Mr. Green, is you there? Is you there?
What do you mean, is you there? Do you speak English?
Sorry.
Let me have that. Bob, can you hear me? How you doing, Bob? This is Phil Hendry.
Oh, I don't know. Oh.
What was that?
Bob, this is Margaret. Are you there?
What the hell is going on? Did you mind telling me?
It sounds to me like he's got the same, the wind that's been blowing. Let me talk to him. Bob, this is General Shaw. I understand that the wind that's blowing is certainly drying out everyone's ability, drying the throat area. And other, can you hear me?
I can hear you now, General. You're right. I did have a bit of a problem breathing earlier because of an asthma condition.
So you have asthma, Bob?
I've got a little bit of asthma. And the fires as well as the dry air has caused me.
It sounds like he's got the same problem you've got.
Yeah. Bob, this is General Shaw. If you could hang with us, we wanted to talk about you and what was going on between you two, anyway.
What do you mean, what was going on between us two?
Oh, hold on for a minute. Let me do this. Thank you very much, General Shaw. Bob, it's Phil Hendry.
Hold on. What was going on? What's going on between you two?
What two are you talking about?
Mr. Green and the foot, or whatever you call it.
It's not called a foot, and there was nothing going on in the sense that you mean, General. I'm laughing, and Phil, it's all right. I understand the General, and I respect him. This is probably a subject matter that is not too close to his area of knowledge. General, Bigfoot is a creature of considerable size that many consider to be, I consider it to be, the missing link between man's animal beginnings and man's eventual great leap forward, that period some 500,000 years ago when man became man, what with speech and so forth.
All right, well, okay, and that's fine. But my understanding was you are claiming some kind of a sexual assault.
That is exactly what I'm claiming. And before it gets juvenile and I hear in the background Mr. Dickman or Mr. Leonard tittering and squeaking with laughter, let me tell you that I have petitioned the Canadian government to lift restrictions. And this is a petition that is an old petition, Phil. You know that I first talked with you about this almost 8-9 years ago.
I do. And in that 8-9 year period, do you go to Canada hunting on a regular basis?
I visit Canada a couple of times a year for fishing and hunting. I have a place in Selkirk, Manitoba, up on the Hudson Bay. And I'm very, very mindful and appreciative of the beauty of Canada. But that does not mean that I, that nature, if you will, in the person of Bigfoot or any other animal, it doesn't mean because I appreciate the environment and I'm a lover of nature, that nature looks at me as something that, okay, we'll go ahead and we'll use Bob Green because he's a soft touch and he can't do anything about it and he'll just lay back and let it happen.
Well, I don't really know what it is you're talking about. You sound like you're a little resentful.
Yes, I'm very resentful, yeah.
Okay, Bob, I've never known you politically to be a, shall we say, I don't want to say liberal, because I don't think environmentalism is necessarily liberal conservative. I think some of the most conservative people in this country can be ardent environmentalists. I've seen it happen, but I will say that this is a stand you're taking as an environmentalist, an appreciative environmentalist of the beauty, as you say, of Canada, of our northern neighbor, and yet you want the right to kill Bigfoot, isn't that right?
Yeah, that is exactly correct.
All right, well, here's where I want to ask the question, Bob. This is General Shaw. Can the caller hear me?
General, I can hear you. Go ahead.
All right. The right to kill Bigfoot as the result of this thing manhandling you, this is what you're claiming?
Over the period of 3 days and 3 nights, I was held against my will in a cabin that I was renting from the Suratami family. This is, as I mentioned, up in Selkirk, Manitoba. I was held against my will by this creature, and I was repeatedly used in a manner that, let me tell you this. When I first went to the local sheriff up there and they laughed in my face, I said, okay, that's on you. Because the next time I run into Bigfoot, I'll blow it in half. I'll get my Winchester carbine, the 330, and I'll blow this thing from here to hell.
And that's your feeling now?
That is my feeling now, yes.
All right, and this is as the result of this thing sexually assaulting you.
I did not say anything about that. I would rather not discuss anything having to do with that. But I suppose you could infer that.
All right, well, we don't have to talk too much about that. But here's the problem. With Canada passing a law including Bigfoot, even though this creature has not been seen by you say you've seen this thing.
You understand what I'm saying? This thing held me against it. It held me against my will.
The Bigfoot held you against your will.
That is correct. Now, usually at this point in these interviews that I do with Mr. Henry, I hear from Margaret Gray, and I'm not hearing anything from her, and I'm going to have to assume that that means she's sitting there laughing and chuckling and having herself a good time. Is that correct?
Bob, I want to say something without being interrupted, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
You're right, I am sitting here I'm not chuckling and I'm not laughing, but I'm simply not engaging because this is absolutely preposterous. You're claiming that this creature, the big thing, or the Bigfoot, or whether they call it, the Sasquatch, held you against your will at an undisclosed location, almost as if, let me ask you this, did it call for ransom?
That's dirty pool.
It's not a bad question, Bob. If the thing holds you against your will, she's asking, what kind of an animal is this that can hold a guy against his will and do the things that you claim that it did without asking for some kind of ransom money? I mean, it sounds stupid, but this sounds like an intelligent creature.
It's very intelligent. It's a human. It's a man, except that it's not quite man. You got to understand something. The Bigfoot is, by all intents and purposes, intelligent, except it's still ape-like. It hasn't picked up to the next level, which is the full human. It's still ape. It still has ape characteristics. I believe that it considers itself every bit as good as any human it sees, and yet it cannot make itself known, given the fact that it's a hairy, big, ugly son of a gun, and the first thing you want to do when you see it is blow it away. I think I'm the only man on Earth with an actual good reason to shoot the damn thing when I see it. Everybody else wants to shoot it just because it looks weird and goes strolling around like it's up for a constitutional. even though it's covered in hair and looks like a big, ugly freak.
All right.
Miss Gray, are you?
Yes, I heard what you said, and I'm still not a believer. And I think, Bob, this is it's a bad publicity stunt on your part. I hope that you find it in yourself, you know.
Find it in myself what? To lie?
I hope you find it in yourself not to use this as an excuse to get the Canadian government to change its laws regarding hunting so that it liberalizes the targets and the seasons that are available to hunters in Canada. That's what I think your real plan is.
All right, Bob, is that the case? You're just trying to get Canada to open up the hunting season more?
No, it's not. If you want, you can take a look at the bill that I submitted through the Canadian MP up there, Terry Stamp, and I said I only want the right to kill this thing. Everything else, and I want it to be only me. So it's an unusual bill.
You want to be the only guy allowed to kill Bigfoot?
That's right, and I say it. I want to be the only guy allowed to kill Bigfoot because of what it did to me in July of 2009 or 2000 something, and I give the circumstances and the address of the cabin.
Yeah. All right. Well.
What do you mean? Yeah.
I mean, it's a very, very strange request, and I think that you're going to have a lot more people scratching their head between now and any time that it gets passed.
Oh, there's no question about that. I'm certainly aware of that. But if you think that I'm going to back off because people are going to give me a look, people are going to look at me and scratch their heads and scratch their crotch and shake their head and go, wow, what a weird freak. Man, I've been, you know, you think that bothers me? People have been looking at me like that my whole life. And not because I'm a weird-looking freak. It's because I got money. Money.
Well, Bob, you know, money doesn't necessarily make someone odious. I think it's the way that you flash your money around.
Flash my money around because money gets things done. I'm Bob Gray.
Excuse me, did he hang up?
Yes, he did.
That's my lockout.
No, it isn't. You...
I know I say Margaret Gray, but...
Well, he locked it out that way. What do you want from me, okay? There's Robert Greene, who, through a Canadian MP, a member of Parliament, is looking to change their laws up there having to do with Bigfoot and make it legal for him and only him to shoot it and kill it because it took advantage of him in a cabin.
What are you talking about? That's the dumbest thing I ever heard.
Well, all right. World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, and we'll be right back here. We do have Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police to give us some update or thereabouts on the whole fire situation. Fire. All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com.
Now, what were you doing?
I was crawling around on the floor trying to... That's what I was doing.
I saw you on the floor, but what were you doing?
So I'm on the floor. Sorry.
I'm going to, you know, but it's just a matter of time now before the promise and the actual event finally come together. The promise being my right hand, your nose, the actual event, contact is made.
Man.
That's right. See, that's me in more of my floral way of putting things.
Well, what were you doing?
I was on the floor, if you must know. I was crawling around down there to find out where are these phone lines going around here. Do you understand that I'm talent? I shouldn't have to deal with this. I'm the talent. I should have people here holding my hand, allowing me to dunk pound cake with a scented handkerchief while the rest of you crawl on the floor.
Oh, well, excuse us.
Yeah, I'm sure. What do you think you are, all special and everything?
Yes, I'm special.
Well, Phil, excuse me, but I'm just a working man. I don't play that.
Well, I'm sorry, General. Of course I'm kidding. I'd love to pull that, though, you know, that whole talent thing.
Yeah, where's the talent again?
Oh.
I'm joking.
Uh-huh. So what I was doing, if you must know, I was trying to find out where the phone lines are connected around here because we've had a problem with our newsmaker line. Now, everything is cool when it comes to our, whatever the hell that thing is that we're doing. What is that thing? Oh, yeah. When it comes to the other phone bank that we're using here tonight, everything is good, but the regular phone bank is all jacked up. So what are you going to do? All right, we got Jay Santos coming up next hour here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And as I mentioned to you, we are monitoring. Jay will be monitoring for us the fires and all that kind of thing. Now, tell me about what you say you're rehearsing your part. It's a one-man show, folks, but as you know, as part of our one-man show, we are going to have, Margaret Gray will make a brief appearance. I guess we can tell people that much. What have you been rehearsing?
Well, what I am rehearsing, Phil, is something that I've believed in for quite some time. And that is what I call the free-form lyric. And now, the free-form lyric... What are you doing, bud? He's looking at his watch, Phil. That's very rude.
This is going to take some time.
Bud, if it takes some time, it takes some time. When you look at your watch and you're looking at someone, it distracts people. Because it makes them think that, you're all impatient and it makes everyone feel bad.
Not that I care what you think, bud, but when you're looking at your watch... It's rude, and I want to kick your face in. You see, other than that, I don't care.
Oh, okay.
So, as you know, Phil, for the longest time, I've been sculpting, I've been buffing.
What are you laughing at now?
Laughing at the word buffing.
Well, Margaret, don't use the word buff. You know that a mental midget like this...
I'm sorry. I have been sculpting and shaping... My approach to the free-form lyric. As you know, I believe that all that is really needed in a song is the title of the song, one of the significant lyrics, and then the rest is really about melody and about the dance, or if you will, the dance. The dance is when you and your husband or boyfriend or girlfriend go out onto a dance floor after a few drinks, and you shake your rear end, and you think you're something out of Chorus Line, and you look like you have...
Muscular dystrophy.
Yes.
Well, what is so funny about that, for God's sake?
Nothing, General. It's...
Well, I'm sorry, General, but I've been out on some dance floors, in nightclubs, and in dance joints around this town. And people that get out on the dance floor...
You know, it's funny. I've seen people dancing at any given night throughout the many... generations of dancers that I've seen. I've been in nightclubs and I've been in dance places for 40 years. 40 years from the 70s when I used to go into places and disco was happening through the 80s when everybody was back to, it was techno, it was new wave, it was power pop, all that crap, into the 90s when suddenly R&B made another big push and hip-hop. I mean, I've seen all kinds of dancing and also sort of world music and the the techno music of the modern techno music. I've seen a lot of people who dance really, really well. I don't know if people practice,
Well, I know when I was a young girl, I would practice my dancing. I would know, oh God, I'm going over to Sylvia's this weekend. We're having a slumber party. Or I'm going to a dance at the school. I better practice my dancing. One, two, one. And so I've always been big on that. Always.
Yeah, but you're talking about practicing. Now you ought to know how to do it.
I do know how to do it, Dickman. Don't worry about that. All right?
Yeah, well.
What does that mean?
Watch it, bud. Now, she's going to... One of these days, I'm not going to hold her back.
I didn't say anything.
You said... When I said I do know how to do it, I saw some drool collect at the corner of your mouth.
No, well...
You say the word, and he's a dead man.
I'm not saying the word on anything. So, tell me about this, then. So, what have you been practicing?
What I've been practicing, Phil, as I mentioned, is the free-form lyrics. So, for instance, I was practicing a song today over at the Tanner Glenhauser rehearsal space. Do you know Tan Glenhauser?
Tan Glenhauser?
You don't know Tan? Oh, Tan's wonderful. He's just wonderful. Tan,
Why is his name Tan?
What?
Why do you call him Tan? It sounds all stupid.
His name's Tanner. His name's Tanner.
You just went, his name's Tanner.
Hey, bud, so you're sitting there waiting for a reaction?
What?
The guy's name is Tanner, and what's short for Tanner is Tan.
I've known Tan for many years. Look at them now, they're laughing.
that's just a dumb name.
All right, the guy's got a dumb name. So you've known Tan, then what?
What do you mean, then what? You're making it sound like, what are you, writing a filthy letter for Penthouse?
No, I mean, what? So you know Tan.
So I was over there, and I was practicing. The song I was doing was I Wish You Love. It goes like this. I wish you bluebirds in the spring, a cozy fire, and a leafy glade. You know, well, really, it says, and most of all, when snowflakes fall, I wish you love. And in July, a leafy glade. Okay, so now she's into the summer, and she's whiffing him. Oh, God.
Is that your teeth?
It's my bridge, yes. She's whiffing him love in a leafy glade. So it goes, I wish you love, and in a leafy, leafy glade. Hey, it's a leafy, leafy glade. You're there in a leafy glade. It's a leafy glade. You see?
No, I don't see. I mean,
what is that supposed to do?
It doesn't do it. It gives you the essence of the song.
So you're singing leafy glade, leafy glade.
Forget it.
All right, we'll be right back, folks. Margaret, come on.
No.
We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com as we continue here with this fascinating discussion of
leafy glade
of freeform lyric.
Here, let me give me the microphone. Leafy glade in a leafy, leafy glade. What is this garbage?
It's the bumper music. We're going out. Phil Henry Show.
Oh, God.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, online at philhenryshow.com with a live-streaming video cast each and every night. And if you're watching our video cast tonight, you saw me crawling around on the floor. Well, actually, I don't think they could see that, could they?
Well, you had camera 3, and I saw your rear end sticking up in the air, Phil. Not that that's any bargain, but I imagine you've got some very perverted fans out there that would think that's a real... That's a real plus.
Yeah, Jimmy saw Mr. Henry's butt.
I did.
No, you did not. I can see camera 3. I was well below the console, and I was down there on the floor.
Yes?
No, Margaret, not looking up your dress.
Well, I'm trying. Look, I've got to cover my bases.
You've got to cover more than your bases. Ow!
I told you I'd belt you, didn't I?
Yeah.
All right, so anyway, we'll have this squared away by tomorrow night. Folks, I apologize. This has just been a week of technical malfeasance, man. We had a overheating TriCaster. Apparently, we had, video issues. I guess it was Tuesday night. All of that has been solved, and we're very grateful that that has been solved. And for whatever reason this evening, our newsmaker line, our phone line is not working. As I said, we had Verizon out here. They are a... I like dropping the names of these companies, not because I'm particularly proud of my association with them, nor am I ashamed of my association with them. I like to just hold their feet to the fire. Just let everybody know, you know. Let everyone know. You got Time Warner, you got Verizon, yeah, Ma Bell's in there somewhere, AT&T. All you guys are expected to do your job. And something happened today where we just lost the Comrex unit, which is a technical term for our phone box. So we'll figure that out in due course. Jay was going to be on with us. I apologize. We did have Robert Greene by way of a very erratic cell phone. So I think that what we're going to have to do this evening is just, I don't see us, working with that cell phone at all. So we'll just, Jay was going to be on to talk about safety measures. We will not be able to have him do that, and this has to do with this fire that we've got in Glendora. Now, the fire, as I understand, has, because of the wind abating, that is, there has not been as much wind as what's that, General?
Well, you said abating.
Let me say something here for a minute, okay?
Yeah.
Let me say something. Just because I used a word that has the syllable bait in it doesn't mean I used the word masturbate, and it doesn't mean masturbate.
I know.
Well, if you know that, why were you looking at me and giving me the shrugged shoulder like, is he allowed to say that?
I didn't.
Look, bud, you know, at some point it's over, man. You're just out of here if you keep up with this jazz.
I'm just trying to figure out a FCC.
No, he's not figuring out any FCC. every time there's a word with a syllable in it that has something to do with a dirty word, you're looking at the general, you're looking at Robert, you're looking at me. Sometimes you've got the drool, sometimes you don't.
Yeah?
What are you drooling about?
It's a lot of times a drool if you start to laugh. If I laugh.
I'm telling you, I don't want to hear it again. I don't want to hear about you going, every time. Jeez.
See, even you think it's funny.
He doesn't think it's funny. He thinks you're funny.
Pretty much. Go ahead, General.
You're the one that's talking.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
God, you're all confused, man.
Not as confused as you're going to be, man, after I drop something on your head. So the fire has abated. That's right. It has abated as the result of the winds dropping. And so they may have a far, far better time of it. You know, as I said, and I mentioned this to you guys, I even posted something, 82 degrees for three straight. I didn't even look at the temperature today, but it felt even warmer today. And it was cold last night.
Well, that's the thing. And I said to Frank that the weather was very cool last evening. I said, Frank, close a window in here. And he said, why? And I said, because it's very, very chilly. And he looked around. He had his glasses on. And he said, well, all right. And he closed the window. And that began a series of personal... He's got very crude and foul personal habits. So when you close a window, Frank sees an opportunity to have himself a good time, you know?
Oh, so he's...
What is he passing? He's passing the breaking wind?
He's passing the breaking wind, yes.
Not like that Indian.
We knew a Native American who did a dance at our home at a party we were having called the breaking wind. It's got nothing to do with what you're saying. But Frank, yes, breaks passing wind, and...
So in other words, you're married to a child.
Well, you know that.
Yeah, I do know that. I didn't know that he was that much of a child. So what did you have to do? Wind up opening the window?
Yes, I had to open the window up and froze myself to death as the result of that.
Hey, Frank, how you doing?
I'm fine. Listen, I don't want to interfere. How you doing, General?
Well, Frank Gray, as I live in... How are you? Did you come over here because you heard the phone was busted?
Well, I did. I wanted to, first of all, say, Phil, I am very grateful for the times you've had me on the program. And I understood that...
Will I sit down, Frank?
Yeah, thank you.
Have you been drinking?
I've had a cock. Let me tell you something, Margaret, just so you... Because he doesn't understand, Phil. I have the right to have a drink.
No one's saying you don't have the right to have a drink, but you've come in here, and it's pretty evident.
What do you mean?
Everybody can smell it on you.
Yeah, I was at Ted's place.
Yes.
And I had a cocktail, and maybe I had two, because I'm just so grateful to be alive and to be retired and to have the money that I have. You don't understand the fun I have, Phil.
No, I can well imagine it. I can well imagine it.
Well, tell us about... Now, I have a lot of fun, but I don't have your money.
That's General, you're right. You know something, General? Anytime you want, you come out with me. We'll go over to Ted's. We'll have lunch. We'll have drinks. And we'll enjoy. We'll enjoy. Hold on for a minute. We'll enjoy. Enjoy.
What, are you sneezing?
No, I... Yeah. Something in my nose. I was over at Ted's today. You know, Phil? You know, Phil?
Yes, yeah, I know, Frank.
Oh, Phil, just have some patience with him.
Well, Frank, you've been drinking, obviously.
Yes, I've been drinking. Yes, I've been drinking. And I'll tell you something else. I'm going to go back and drink some more because I've got a driver. Jerry's with me today. Do you know that, Margaret?
I didn't know. Is he out there?
Yeah, she's right out there. And she is one holy hell of a great driver and bodyguard. I'm going to go back to Ted's. I'm going to go back over to her place, and I'll have another few drinks. How do you feel about that?
Honey, as long as you're not driving, you can do whatever you want.
I'm telling you, he's the best wife a guy ever had. Any fantastic... Let me get... Give me a kiss. Come here.
Don't get on me.
Give me a... Mm-hmm.
Come on, Frank. God almighty, man.
I love him, I swear. He's the greatest wife a man's ever had.
Frank, you know, one of these days, I want to sit down with you and find out about... Well, I better not say, right?
Don't mention the thing.
Don't mention what?
Nothing.
Hey, did I tell you that I was over golfing down in Carlsbad today and I was down at that Nicholas course down in Carlsbad. Did I tell you about that?
No, no. Is that the one that I golfed at?
Yeah, you golfed it with your buddy. That's the one that Nicholas designed. Jack Nicholas, who thinks that she's God's gift to golf architecture, and Jack Nicklaus couldn't design a golf course any better than he could probably make David or the Thinker out of a turd that she just dropped, you know?
All right, so what's the point here?
No, hold on. Frank, you're very drunk.
I know I'm drunk, but I'm making a good point here. Go ahead, Frank. Oh, you're supposed to say that.
Go ahead, Frank.
Okay. I went down, I golfed the Nicholas course in Carlsbad, and I butchered this thing. I shot a 150, and I laughed. I laughed. Okay? Now, get a load of this, Phil.
You shot a 150 at this Nicholas course in Carlsbad?
A 150. And I laughed. I laughed my ass off. And then I found out that Nicholas is in town, and Nicholas is over at La Costa. And so I drove over there, me and Jerry, and I found out where she was. She's in one of the wings. I had a bottle of Crown Royal with me.
What is it with you and the Crown Royal all of a sudden?
I'm very surprised, Frank. You usually are a much classier drinker.
What does that mean? Crown Royal is great stuff. It's great stuff. Right?
Frank, you stink like a drunk. You look like a bum.
Take it easy. You know, just because you're my wife doesn't mean I won't haul off and smack you.
And you know what happens when you do that, don't you?
Anyway, Phil, get this. So I butchered up the Nicholas course in Carlsbad. I go out to La Costa and find out where her wing is, and I go to her room. I mean, I'm standing outside her room, right?
Jack Nicholas.
Yes. And I say, Jack, I'm yelling out the window. I said, Jack, get your ass out here. I'm buying you a drink. My name's Frank Gray. God bless you and damn you all at once. I played your course today, and you should be sent to the bowels of hell for what you done did. And God bless you for it too, Jack Nicholas. And I said it.
Now, you're outside saying this?
Yeah, I'm right outside his window, and because her wife was with her, okay? So I was outside his window.
Wait. You're at Jack Nicholas's room at La Costa.
Yeah.
And you were outside of his wife's room.
Yes, because I didn't know at the time it wasn't her room, it was his. So I was outside of the wife. And then someone said, no, wait a minute, Nicholas is in the northernmost suite.
I wonder why they don't sleep together.
Are you kidding? Are you kidding? The guy's rich. When you're rich, you don't sleep with your wife, even if you can sleep with him. You don't sleep with him. You sleep separate from him because you have the money to do just that.
Understood.
So,
hold on, I got to take a break. Okay.
You got a break. Okay, buddy. All right. I want you to know, Phil, I love you very much.
I appreciate that, Frank. Sit down. Would you like a coffee?
Hell no, coffee. A coffee.
Frank, sit down. You're very loud.
Oh.
Go ahead. Just sit down, buddy. Frank Gray is paying us an in-studio visit because we don't have the phone lines working tonight. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back here. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Frank Gray apparently accosted Jack Nicholas at his hotel suite today at La Costa. You didn't accost him.
I accosted him at La Costa.
We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show. You get a coffee or something?
Oh, yeah.
Easy, Frank. Come on.
On stage number one, Little Sheba.
Take it easy. Phil Hendry Show here. Frank Gray in studio. You have to calm down, Frank, because we're on the air.
I'm sorry.
Frank, please calm down.
Anyway, welcome back to the Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And tune in, baby. You got to have one of the three, either the radio. You can listen to a live audio stream of our show for free on our website. you can watch a video cast of our show as part of your premium membership, or you can grab us on TuneIn, where we are live every night, 7 to 10, on our own personal, private, very exclusive, that anybody can listen to, Phil Henry Channel. Frank Gray has wandered in here. Good to see you, Frank. We have a problem with our newsmaker line tonight, folks, so we are not able to actually have anybody on the phone, but Frank came in. Now, today you were in Carlsbad, California, and you were golfing the Jack Nicklaus course down there. You don't remember the name of this?
No. I don't remember the name of it, but I'll tell you, I went to La Costa, where I heard that Mr. and Ms. Nicklaus was staying, and I went outside the suite, finally found the suite of Jack Nicklaus, and I looked up toward her window, and I said, "Jack, you come out here and have a drink with me, Frank Gray, you son of a crawling desert lizard. I love you. I love you and I hate you."
Right. So now why were you yelling this at him?
Well,
I'll tell the story, Margaret. You weren't there.
I'm trying to get to the point here, Frank.
I'm telling, he always wants to butt in. I love him. He's a beautiful woman. God knows I love you, baby, but you're always butting in.
I understand that, but you're taking up valuable time, dear.
Well, take a look at him. Isn't he beautiful?
Yes, Margaret's very, very, very lovely.
I love him. But he's got a mouth on him, blah, blah, la, 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 la. And of course, with that same mouth.
All right, Frank, the story.
All right. So anyway, I said, "Nicklaus, come out, wherever you are." And then comes some twerp in one of the little golf carts.
Oh, God, you didn't get thrown out, did you?
Hold on for a minute, will you, for God. Now some little pipsqueak, pea-picking punk comes up in a golf cart, and she goes, "Excuse me, what are you doing?" And I said, "Let me tell you something, pea-picker. You better clear out while the clearing is good, because in about 5 seconds, you won't believe what's going to happen even while it's happening."
Man, that's pretty badass, Mr. Gray.
You better believe it. Anyway,
did Nicklaus ever come out and have a drink with you?
No. But I said, "Jack, you come out, you dirty, no good, you magnificent bastard." What Patton said about Rommel, right? I said, "Nicklaus, you magnificent bastard, I read your book."
Oh, he loves Patton. You're quoting Patton again, aren't you?
You better believe it. George Patton was fantastic. She was the greatest general.
Oh, yeah, you look like he's going to be sick. Where, Jerry?
Yeah.
Okay, Frank, good seeing you.
Frank, we'll get together real soon. All right, General, she is a great American, too.
I don't like it when he calls me that.
Just take it easy. Thanks a lot. We'll see you later, Frank.
Uh-huh.
God, I wonder what happened today. He must have either hit the lottery, or they must have settled a big case where his contingency was pretty big.
I don't know how much more money Frank can have, though, you know?
Well, that is the point.
Frank Gray, ladies and gentlemen, who came in here just crap-faced and apparently had a encounter today, the Jack Nicklaus course down in Carlsbad. One of the things about these golf courses...
What does he mean about design? Because I don't know anything about golf.
They're designed by... There's golf course architects.
Really?
Yeah.
What do they do?
They design the course. They design the golf course. They say, okay... and generally, they're hired by a resort or a hotel or something. We'd like a golf course. Now, this one in Carlsbad, because I played this, was designed by Jack Nicklaus. It's in a sort of a desert setting, and it has these strange little things, like instead of a bridge, I don't know what Nicklaus was thinking, but he went and got boxcars, you know?
You mean a railroad car?
Yeah, a railroad car, and instead of a bridge over a river gully or some kind of a wash, it's a boxcar. You're driving through a boxcar. It's a covered bridge. It's a boxcar.
I don't understand that.
Well, I think it's because there's a lot of rail traffic out there. I don't know, but in any event, it's also what they call, because I think Nicklaus is partial to this kind of stuff, it's a Scottish design. Do you know what I mean by that?
Well, you're saying it's designed
Well, if it's designed like a Scottish golf course, in other words, it looks like a regular municipal course with big brown patches and cow turds and tire tracks. Is that what you're talking about?
No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about St. Andrews isn't like that.
Oh, they buy acid, isn't
it? No, it's not. It's a course with no trees. That's it. The Scottish courses, you notice, and the English courses, I guess, but the Scottish course that they play the British Open on, it's got no trees. It's all that big, wide-open cow pasture-looking stuff with those pot bunkers and the road thing.
Oh, that road, yes. What is that called?
The road.
The road. What's it called? The road.
Yeah, really, bud? Hey, what's that up in the sky? A bird, a plane.
Why, it's...
Cover the gut.
Yeah.
Man, that was a shot.
You better believe it.
All right, so that's the kind of course it is. It's a big, wide-open, rolling desert type of expanse. And on a hot damn day, man. So there you go. So congratulations, Frank, if you're still listening, that you hit a 150.
That's bad.
Oh, yeah, that's real bad. That's horrid. You shouldn't even golf. That's how bad that is.
Man, a 150? I thought he said that he got a 150?
Yes, he got a 150. He butchered it. And that's why he got drunk, and that's why he wanted to talk to Jack Nicklaus. All right, the Phil Henry Show here, and philhenryshow.com, online at philhenryshow.com with a backstage pass. You have access to thousands of hours of recent classic shows, live streaming, or on-demand video. You can listen to our show for free tonight online on philhenryshow.com by way of TuneIn, or you can, on your smartphone, listen to us on TuneIn. So there's a lot of different ways to access the radio show, and we just want to make sure that you guys are aware of all of them. We're going to get back to Margaret's discussion of the rehearsal that you were doing, right, Margaret?
Yes, for the Sketch Fest, for the one-man show.
All right, so we're going to get back to talking to her about that when we come back here on the show. And I think you were saying it was the free-form lyric?
Yes, this is a new kind. Who keeps saying 30 seconds?
That's Nikki.
Oh, I'm sorry, dear. I know, you're counting us down. All right. Well, I'll tell you later, but really what it is, it's a... Now, what the hell is that?
It's the bumper music, okay? Do you mind?
Oh, my God. What is this? Where am I, all of a sudden out in the middle of New Mexico? Woo! Well, look, a bald eagle.
All right, we'll be right back. Phil Henry Show. Welcome back to the Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. In 1 week, we're going to be at, a little over a week, we're going to be in San Francisco at the Eureka Theater for our one-man show, The World of Phil Henry. And Margaret Gray is joining us. Margaret, you have worked up a few things.
Well, I haven't exactly worked up some things. I mean, I do a very serious rehearsal, Phil. Although I know that the casual nature of how you like to work. Now, am I correct in assuming that there will be no costuming?
I'm not going to say what I'm going to do.
Well, Phil, you know, I think you're absolutely right. But I was curious whether you are going to be costuming and whether or not you'll need a dresser as well as makeup and so forth.
What's a dresser?
Well, a dresser is a man who, he's a gentleman who will stand there with the wardrobe draped over his arm as Mr. Henry tries on the different pantaloons and so forth.
That sounds about as idiotic.
Shut up. I don't need a dresser. Thank you very much, General.
Well, I'm not volunteering for that. I'm simply saying that will you be wearing pantaloons?
What does that mean, pantaloons?
Are you kidding me, man? Pantaloon? That sounds like some lady wear.
Yeah, that sounds like lady clothes.
No, it's not lady clothes, brain surgeon. Pantaloons, or pantalons, I should say, or the pantaloon, that's what they used to call men's pants. Why do you think they're called pants?
Because you put them on two legs. Wow.
Hey, what'd it do, man?
Watch it, will you?
No, that's not because you put them on one leg at a time or whatever you said.
You put them on two legs.
They're called pants because it's short for pantaloon or pantalon or the pantalon. See?
All right, Margaret, we don't need the third French, okay? Pantaloon, pantalon. Now, I always thought of pantaloons as some kind of, goofy-looking clown suit or something.
Yeah, that's what it is.
No, it's not a clown suit.
Well, what is? Why do they everything a clown wears is a pantaloon.
No, it's not. Where do you knuckleheads get that idea?
Well, why do we... Everybody here is in agreement that a pantaloon, or something like that, has to do with some kind of big balloon pants or something.
Balloon pants? Phil, the only thing around here that's got too much air in it is your head. Now...
Ha, ha, ha.
Look, the pantaloon is what the a man's pants used to be called, and it was shortened to pants. That's why. You should know, you're reading your little 19th century... What is the thing you're reading, the Lincoln assassination?
Yes.
Well, don't they reference pantaloon?
They do. They reference pantaloons, and they reference slouch hats.
What's a slouch hat?
Slouch hats were like those hats you'd see them. It kind of turned up on one side and was straight down on the other. They mentioned slouch hats a lot. That must have been a very common hat that men wore in the 1860s. Slouch hats, and they referred to pants as pantaloons, yeah, or pantalons or something, not pants. They didn't say what color pants was he wearing. They would say what color pantaloons did he have on. And then they had on the jackets that the men wore weren't just jackets. They were I don't know what. They called them something else.
Well, what did they call them?
I don't know. They would call them things like breeches and stuff like that. I don't know.
Well, anyway, so that is why the pantalon or the pantalon is referenced that way. Now, are we going to talk about next week?
Yes. Well, we were talking about costuming. No, they're not going to be costuming. What were you going to do?
Well, I told you that I'm going to be doing my interpretation of the freeform lyric. Now, I was practicing today with the song... I wish you bluebirds in the spring. Ooh, about to do, 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 do. Okay.
Right.
Now, what I'm going to do is... What do you want, bud?
I just was wiping my nose.
You're wiping your nose as a way of masquerading the fact that you're laughing, aren't you?
Yeah, I guess I am.
I'm going to...
All right, watch it. Watch it now. We don't need that, Margaret, I don't need that right now, okay?
What, you don't need the coroner over here putting him in a bag?
That's right. All right, just calm down.
I just calm.
Go ahead.
All right, so the song starts out, goodbye, let our hearts call it a day. But before I walk away, there is something I want to say. I need water, please. Hold on. I wish you bluebirds in the spring. Yeah. A boot a doot doot a doot. See what I'm doing, Phil? Doot a doot. Phil?
Yeah? Yes, ma'am.
Don't give me the yes, ma'am. Do you see what I'm doing?
Well, what do you want me to do? To follow along or something?
I may want you to follow me on stage, yes.
Hold on. Excuse me, I have to cough away from people. I don't want you guys to get...
Well, you had a flu shot.
I did have a flu shot, but I don't want you to, you know, be the recipients of any spray. Hold on.
Are you all right?
I'm fine, but you're the one that needs water.
Now, Phil, what I want you to do is listen to that. So I start out with the big build-up. Goodbye. Let our hearts call it a day. But I need water now. God. Oh, that's great.
Margaret, don't drink like you're a stevedore at lunch, okay?
I'm sorry, but I was thirsty. Now, so it starts out with goodbye, let our hearts color today. And in June, now I'll start out with the lyric, and in July, a leafy glade to keep you cool in the shade. But most of all, when snowflakes fall, I wish you love.
What do you mean when snowflakes fall? I just had him in a leafy glade.
I'm going to belt you.
Oh, okay. Don't have to hit him yet, you know.
Bud, shut up. So what I'll do is this. So you got the build-up, right?
Yeah.
Come on. We all got the build-up. You build it up.
Oh, did I build it up? So you've got the build-up. Goodbye. Let our hearts fall. And all of that garbage. And then one, two, three. I wish you bluebird. In the spring, do 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 do, but most of all, when snowflakes fall, I wish you love. Now here's where the free forum takes place. And in July, a leafy glade, a leafy glade. So there's where you begin to repeat just leafy glade, because you don't need the lyrics.
So you just, from that point forward, it's just...
Yeah, here's how it would sound. And in July, a leafy glade, do-do-do-do, and a leafy glade, but most of all, a leafy glade.
And a leafy glade. Yes, we understand, Margaret.
Well, you see, General, you think you've got it figured out, but when you came in with your singing there, it probably frightened even the dead. It probably scared people out of their coffins and on into a bonfire. The walking dead, you could get them to turn around, about face, and walk right into a fire.
Well, I don't know, but you are going a leafy glade.
Yes, and then you go a leafy glade. My God, the sound of that probably put, it probably killed rats. Thousands of rats. All red blood.
All right. So,
why are you interrupting me?
I'm interrupting you guys so you don't get bogged down in these fights. So that's what you're going to be doing.
Don't throw your hands up again. That's what you'd be doing. I guarantee you, Phil, when you see this, when your audience sees it, when they see me doing the freeform lyricing, it'll blow them away. My God, they'll never have a normal bowel movement again. And I say that in a good way.
If there is such a thing.
What?
If there is such a thing, what the hell kind of a promise is that?
Well, you don't know anything about art, do you?
Well, I didn't laugh one time. I didn't laugh one time, okay?
You laughed a little bit.
I just want to ask. So you're going to say in a leafy glade.
I'm going to do what?
You're going to say in a leafy glade, and then you're in a leafy glade.
No, but I'm not going to go, did you hear that leafy? No, I'm not going to sing it like that. I'm going to sing it like the professional that I am. It goes like this, again.
Margaret.
No, 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 not Margaret. Here, it goes like this.
Goodbye,
let our hearts call it a day. But before you walk away, there's just one thing I'd like to say. Yeah, and then do, 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 do. Okay, like that. Do, 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 like that. And no, do, do. I wish you love. And in July, a leafy glade. There you are in a leafy glade, and you're lying in a leafy glade. They'll find you in a leafy glade. What's he laughing at?
They'll find you in a leafy glade.
Thank you very much.
Oh, here she goes.
Margaret, at some point you're going to have to take constructive criticism.
There's nothing constructive about them going like a bunch of gibbering imbeciles.
All right, Margaret, I apologize for laughing at things that are funny. I really do. I apologize for laughing at things that are funny.
What was funny about that?
They'll find you in a leafy glade.
I'm just simply trying to extend the lyric. It doesn't mean what you... Oh, God.
Can't wait to hear that, folks. So it'll be the San Francisco Sketch Fest, and that is a week from Sunday. Check it out. Get your tickets over there at the Sketch Fest website. That's sfsketchfest.com, sfsketchfest.com. That URL again is
SF Sketchfest. What a gloid.
SFSketchfest.com. Phil Henry Show and PhilHenryShow.com returning with more from the world of news in just a moment. World famous Phil Henry Show. There's some Ramstein for our very close personal friend Nikki back in D.C. tonight. Poor child is... Well, she's dealing with some illnesses that we all must deal with in these here times of the year, this here January thing. Although, if you're out in the hell...
This is fantastic. Here's Ramstein called the Jew.
Well, isn't that nice?
Du hast.
What did I tell you about this kraut stuff?
What?
I'm kidding. So anyway...
Take that off. Take it off. Thank you. When I was in Wiesbaden, I had to listen to Ramstein morning, noon, and night, because a great many of the enlisted men were big fans, and I said, are you telling me, with a straight face, you're listening to some of that kraut stuff,
Why, it was just yesterday that Kraftwerk was just inundated. I was feeling Kraftwerk right up through my you-know-what, you see?
No, I don't see, but okay.
Well, why do you try to be difficult? There's Kraftwerk, Scorpions, Rammstein, the Beatles.
You get the Beatles.
They played in Hamburg, Germany. Everybody knows that's Germany.
That don't make them German.
Well, that's it. Why are you getting all upset about it?
Yeah, Phil, why are you getting so defensive? All right, so they're not Germans. God.
Well, I mean, come on. You want to name off German groups? Fine. The Beatles are German. Why? Because they played Hamburg?
Well, I'll tell you this much, and you know because you almost got beat up over this, didn't you? That the Beatles, they're really the country that was the best for the Beatles was Germany.
I didn't almost get beat up. What happened was, folks, if I may tell my own story, is that all right with you?
Yes, that's fine, Phil, even though you carved up my attempt at showing people freeform lyric, one tooth, and in July, a leafy glade. You wouldn't let me say that, but...
I'll tell my own story. So I'm in Liverpool, England, and I'm doing a series of music interviews and a variety of things on the anniversary of, I believe it was Sgt. Pepper's, the release of Sgt. Pepper's. And we're in Liverpool, and I come out of the Cavern Club, the very famous Cavern Club, which is there. And it literally is, it's one of the most claustrophobic experiences of my life going into that nightclub. You've got to go down five flights of stairs to get to the very ground floor of this cavern. I would never, if I had been young and in the city of Liverpool, I would never have gone into that club because I get claustrophobia in a place like that big time.
What was it all about?
Well, you're going down five flights of stairs with a ceiling that is barely above your head. And now you're in the very ground floor of this cavern. You're in a cavern, man. And there's the Beatles on stage. I don't know how the hell they did it. I never would have been. I probably would have been the Pete Best, you know. I mean, they wouldn't have had to fire me. I would have quit. But anyway, we go down into this club and kind of checked it out. I think I had a beer. I guess I was okay. Maybe it wasn't as claustrophobic as I thought it was. I remember going down the stairs, it felt creepy. But once we got into the club, I think maybe it opened up a little bit. And then we left. As I leave, I get these guys, these Liverpudlians. And Liverpudlians all talk like this, you know. You just think maybe it's John Lennon talks like that or Paul McCartney, but they all have... So what do you think? The Beatles are nothing. The Beatles are rubbish, you know. And they were talking bad about the Beatles. They go off to Germany, you know, and then they come back here with all the big 800,000-pound house and all this stuff. Well, then I talked to some people and said, well, you know, these people in Liverpool have got a real... They got some nerve talking like that because they didn't do diddly squat. And I said, what are you talking about? He says, the Beatles had to go to Germany to really get their chops down and to really play in front of really enthusiastic crowds because they split, man. They couldn't make a dime in England and in Liverpool and around there. They went down to Hamburg, which is famous, you know, very famous story. The Beatles went to Hamburg. They were a five-piece band when they went to Hamburg.
That one guy got his ass kicked.
Yeah, they're always getting their asses kicked over there, man. And Stu Sutcliffe was their bass player, I think, at the time. Or he was one of the musicians. They had five guys. And he got beat up pretty bad one night outside the club in Hamburg and eventually died as the result of his injury.
Oh, my God. What happened?
He got some kind of a brain. He might have had a concussion that was not properly treated. But I believe it was a brain aneurysm that they did attribute to this beating he took.
How do you like those Germans? Boy, I'll tell you something. You bomb them into the Stone Age and they're still animals. Still crawling, stinking.
All right, come on. Take it. Take a cigarette break here, General. All right? It's not that. The guy got beat up outside of a club. It doesn't matter what country. It happens anywhere, you know.
I just think that you can bomb those krauts into the...
Well, you take it easy, man. This is 2013. I'm going to get complaints.
Hey, come on, let's go get a cottage cheese, General.
The hell with it.
Go get yourself a bratwurst, General.
Oh, yeah, you'd like that, wouldn't you?
So, yeah, he got beat up. But anyway, I'm there, and these guys, and they were yakking. So I got out of there with my life. I don't know why these guys were pissed off, but it's because I was talking about the Beatles. And these dudes were all about other Liverpool bands. They were on about Echo and the Bunnymen. And these other groups that were local to Liverpool, and they didn't give a damn about the Beatles anymore. And they thought any yank talking about the Beatles was a wank.
Hey.
All right.
So what was the upshot of this? So who told you the Beatles?
Well, then I got to talking to Murray. Some of the other cats, because we were in Liverpool, and I talked to one of the disc jockeys over there, a guy by the name of Phil Eaton. And Phil Eaton was on a station over there called Radio City. And boy, I'll tell you one thing about the British. Now, this is in the 80s. I don't know how it is now, but the radio stations in England. Over here, you have a room, a microphone, some records, a sales office. That's it. In England, man, this one radio station in Liverpool was three stories high. I mean, you would have thought it was a radio network. It was huge, you know, and all kinds of studios, and good God, man. And it was for this station, Liverpool, called Radio City. Anyway, this guy says to me, no, man, you know, Liverpool is a great city, and the Beatles are from here, but Germany is where the buzz really got going about the Beatles. I said, well, what do you mean buzz? I mean, Germany, you know, when they came to England, they started to sell the records. He said, yeah, but they came back from Germany with a huge reputation as being this phenomenal rock and roll band that had been, and they really did. They got their chops down, and they came back to Liverpool with this great reputation as being a very, very proficient, tight, great band, and they were. By that point, when they got back from Germany, they were fantastic.
Yeah, minus one guy that got his ass kicked and killed.
Yeah, they were a tight band after they got one guy's ass kicked, and now they've only got four.
Spit it out, why don't you?
You want me to spit some?
Hey,
all right, now come on, General, not you. Well, everybody else around here gets a piece of them. Why not me?
That's what she said.
Why, you dirty...
Hey!
Don't come at me now. You know, I'll start swinging back.
You'd hit a woman, wouldn't you? Ladies and gentlemen, you heard him. You're a witness. He'd smack me. And what are you looking at, bud?
Looking at my hand.
Yeah, because you're trying not to laugh.
And so, wrapping up the story here, because you're trying not to laugh, that's what you said.
Maybe.
So wrapping up the story... This dude, you know, says to me that the Beatles... So that was it. And I told him all these cats were almost... They were going to kick my ass. And he said, yeah, these people in Liverpool, they think that they made the Beatles. They didn't make diddly squat. That was this cat telling me this.
And this guy is from Liverpool.
Yeah, this guy was a disc jockey in Liverpool. He says people here think that they made the Beatles. They didn't make diddly squat, man. They ignored the Beatles while they were building their thing here.
What about the time the Beatles played at a church social? Didn't they sell that out?
Yes, they did play the church social.
Oh, well, I'm sure they sold the big church social out. What do you mean the church social?
I thought they played like a church or something.
Yeah, they played a church. Big wow. All right, sports fans, that's all I got there on that little piece of marvelousness, marvelous historical stuff. Back next hour with more on the local brush fires. We may get in studio Jay Santos because we have had, we sent a car service out to pick up people, although Frank came over in his own limousine, right?
Yes. It doesn't make us filthy rich. It means we're very blessed. We can afford our own limo.
That's great. Phil Hendry Show. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com every night till 10 o'clock on the West Coast. That is the El Pacifico side of things, and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. And we're with you a variety of ways on the radio, on iTunes, or on TuneIn. We're probably on iTunes somewhere. On TuneIn, and we're also, of course, live streaming the audio for free or the video cast for our subscription BSPs at philhendryshow.com. Our daily podcast is a classic podcast that we bring from our archives, and that's available each and every day. We've got like 306 classic podcasts that we've done, and those are all available for you there on our website, or by way of iTunes if you have a subscription to our website. 306 classics that are drawn from the full shows that we also have in our archives, something like well over 5,000 hours of audio.
And you've decided now that it is more than 5,000 hours. You were saying almost 5,000. Now you think it's almost 10,000.
Well, you said that you had a... Did you say that you spread something? Because I just...
Spreadsheet, yeah. As a matter of fact, speaking of spread,
Did we pick him up, Robert?
Yeah, we picked up Mr. Santos just moments ago at a rendezvous point. That's a 7-Eleven down there on Rosecrans.
Great. So we, you don't have to say where. So, Jay, come on in and sit down. Because I think of you, Jay, every time somebody talks about spread.
Well, as understandable, Mr. Henry, the spread is a...
Speak up into the microphone there.
All right. That is understandable. The spread is something that we utilize in the Citizens Auxiliary Police. When we tell you to spread, and I'm sure, General, you understand, and any punk, and I don't mean you necessarily, Bud, but if we come up against any punk, you know, dirty punk that thinks he's going to tell us what to do, then at that time, we will then at that time, there and then, say, you got spread.
Well, what does spread mean?
It just means put your hands up on a wall, put your feet up on a wall, put
your feet up on the wall?
I'm sorry. I was thinking, probably I should not say this, but I was thinking some sort of impure thoughts at that time.
Why is that?
Well, I'm sorry, Ms. Gray. When I said put your feet up on a wall, I was thinking of some other kind of...
Yeah, you're talking about something dirty.
All right, Bud, let's be nice to our guest. So spread is basically assume the position.
Right, but we don't like to say assume the position because we did get into some problems with that early on with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. If you say assume the position, there are a few people are probably going to take that the wrong way. I know General Shaw, you had remarked to me that if you're talking to elderly men, it could be dangerous.
Well, elderly men are particularly sensitive to anybody trying to push them around because they think that they're getting pushed around because people think they're punks, a dirty little punk that you can push around, just as you were saying. And that's not the way it is for a lot of guys, especially guys like me.
I understand that. So I don't want to say to an elderly man or older guy, go ahead, assume the position, because he's going to take that as a challenge.
Yeah, that's right. He'll take that as a challenge, and you'll be minus a head when you go home to your wife's cooking and the tender embraces of your children in the evening. I'm sure you understand.
I totally do understand. So what we did, Phil...
God, General.
Well, I'm making this very clear on behalf of a lot of guys. Don't you ever look at me and say, assume the position. That's all I'm saying.
I understand that. So, Phil, what I said to my guys then was what we need to do is... Probably what we want to try to do is swish that around a little bit, and we'll call it just a spread.
So before that, it was assume the position, which was what common cop talk, right?
I would say that's common cop talk. That's absolutely right. And I had mentioned that to Terry Brando, who's a member of Los Angeles Police Department, who is the brother-in-law of my friend Jerry's wife. And when he looked at me, I said, hey, so let me ask something, Terry. You're a cop, I'm a cop.
Wait, what did you... You said you're a cop?
I said, you're a cop, I'm a cop. And that's when he said to me, you may be law enforcement, and so am I, but you are not a cop. And I said, boy, that hurts. That stings. And then I realized he was quoting Bobby De Niro from Copland, and it really stung. It really sat home then.
Really? It really hit home then, huh, Santos?
Yes, it did, General.
Well, you're not a cop, and you're not even law enforcement. You are a...
Well, Phil, let's not do that now.
Come on, Mr. Harry.
What do we not do what now? I'm just saying the service that you provide, Jay, is a valuable service as far as it goes.
You are a volunteer street patrol. I know you don't like being called a neighborhood watch, right?
We are not neighborhood watch. I will not be. I don't have nobody call me that, all right, in a long time. Last guy called me neighborhood watch. I gave him, I said, let me tell you something right now. You're lucky that my wife's with me, and
so your wife was there.
Well, she wasn't there, but I made it seem like she was in the store.
Okay.
And so I'm trying to say to you that while we are a neighborhood, we are a street patrol, as Margaret said. I want people to think more than that. I want people to think we are a cop, and we're going to take care of business.
Well, but you are not a cop. As the officer said, you may be law enforcement, and so am I, but you're no cop.
All right, I think we've quoted De Niro from Copland enough, all right?
Well, I think it's a good line.
All right, and I think in the film Copland, when he said that to Sylvester Stallone's character, he was trying to motivate Stallone. He was trying to say, you know, you are the chief of, you're the sheriff in a town that has a lot of crooked cops living in it. They're all New York City police officers. They live here in New Jersey. They're beyond the reach of internal affairs, but you can help me. And he was saying to him, and in so doing, then you'll be a real cop. Because right now, all you're doing is getting cats out of trees and controlling the church traffic.
Well, I think that's your interpretation.
No, I think Phil interpreted that very well. That's how I read that as well.
Well, I didn't. I thought that what De Niro was saying to him was that I may be law enforcement, and so am I, but you are not a cop.
I may be law enforcement, and so am I.
Yes.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, he was. I understand what you think. You think he was just dismissing the guy out of hand, and there was no redeeming quality at all to Sylvester Stallone, and he just said that.
Yes, and when he said, I know you are, but so am I, he didn't say, I know you are, but I'm sorry.
No, he didn't say, what are you...
Yeah, you gotta get the line right, General. From the movie The Copland.
General, you know the film Copland. You've been quoting it.
I know the film Copland. When De Niro looks at Stallone and says, I know I am, but what are you? No, he doesn't.
When De Niro looks at Stallone.
All right, Phil, don't get impatient. I'm trying to remember.
When De Niro looks at Stallone.
Phil, can I know that movie. De Niro says to Stallone, I may be a cop, and so are you, but I am not law enforcement.
No, no.
I'm sorry. You're right.
Phil, let Phil do it, because he's the only one that it appears that has a functioning brain tonight.
Oh, hold on.
No, I'll do it. In the scene.
Now, wait a minute.
Hold on. In the scene, when De Niro comes to see Stallone's character, and he wants him to help him nail these crooked cops that live there in Garrison, New Jersey, because Stallone is the sheriff, and Mo, whatever the hell the character is.
Who's Mo?
The guy that De Niro plays. He can't touch them because he's internal affairs at the New York City Police. So he says to Stallone, I need your help. I have something that you can do to help me. You can watch these cops for me. Because you may be law enforcement, and so am I, but you're not a cop. Because Stallone, remember, wanted to be in the NYPD.
Yeah, that's right, Mr. Ernest. They totally forgot about that. He wanted to be on the New York City Police.
Yes, Stallone's character wanted to be in the New York City Police. He couldn't because his eardrum had been pierced when he was saving that girl in the river.
Well, is that why he wasn't law enforcement, and so am I?
Is that why he wasn't law enforcement?
I'm sorry. Is that why he wasn't a cop?
That's why he wasn't NYPD, because he failed his physical because he had a punctured eardrum. And he always wanted to be New York City Police. So here comes De Niro's character saying to him, I have a redeeming moment for you now. You can be a cop. You can help me if you'll keep an eye on these guys. Because right now, all you're doing is getting cats out of trees. Remember what he said? And you're controlling the church traffic, and you ain't doing anything. That's what he said.
And that's when he said, I know you are, but so am I. No.
You know something, General? Either you need to lay down or the rest of us do, because you're really starting to piss me off.
Well, never mind, General. We'll be back here in just a moment on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and let's just get off of this kick all together, if you don't mind, about I know I am, but what are you? It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Jay Santos continuing with us here as we talk about some of the brush fires that we've had here in the city over the past 24 hours. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police joining us in studio as we are bringing in by way of the car service that we have tonight. Who is providing car service, Robert?
Well, right now, it's my cousin.
We don't have a company doing this?
No, it's my cousin's limo.
Your cousin's limo?
Yeah, come on, man. I mean, don't you have no company name?
My cousin's limo, man. Don't worry about it.
All right, well, Jay, was it a good ride?
Yeah, it was
totally good, and we're very much appreciative of Robert and everybody in the family there to bring us over.
All right, so, Jay, we're talking with you here about the fires. Let's talk about what you, with the Citizens Auxiliary Police, what you do when we have these brush fires in the area. Now, there's a lot of different, as Nikki and I were talking, you know, in wherever you live in America, there is its own unique, if you will, natural challenge. It may be unique to the area. It may be something that's common to most of the country. But we have, for instance, the tornadoes. We have the hurricanes. These are all specific to areas. We have flooding. It seems like in the springtime after a... Can you imagine what the flooding's going to be like this year?
Why is that?
Because of the snowfall, you know.
Oh, my God, you're right. All of that snow.
I'm not sure I understand, Mr. Henry, but I can tell you that...
Wait. You know what? With all of that snow, it's going to melt.
I understand that, yeah.
So that means it's melting into rivers, and the rivers rise. And when the rivers rise, guess what you get?
Well, I understand you do have flooding in a lot of these areas, whether it is Missouri River or the Ohio River. And certainly we all remember as kids, if you grew up, I grew up in the Baltimore, Maryland area, as well as western Pennsylvania. So we had a Susquehanna River, we had an Allegheny River, we had a Shenandoah, we had a Potomac, or however it's called.
Potomac?
That's right, yeah, the Potomac. We had Little Greasy Creek.
Now, what is Little Greasy Creek?
That's just one of the many rivers.
I've never heard of that.
It doesn't mean it doesn't exist. You start looking at me like I'm making stuff up, you know.
I've never heard it. So was this local to where you grew up?
Yeah, it's local in my area. But so we had that. Then if you live, then there's earthquakes out where here in California have earthquakes. So there's always a challenge. And what we try to foresee what that challenge is going to be. And I'll tell you, the fires took us completely by surprise, as they did the fire department. You never really think about a fire. I mean, yeah, you do, but not now. I was totally blown away, you know, by it.
Well, what were you, what, the fire right now?
Why would you be blown away by, it's been hot, it's been dry.
Right. But I just, you know, you don't think fire. I thought it would start to rain and there'd be a lot of mud. I thought that all of a sudden there'd be fog or some kind of deal like that with the cold air. If you have cold air meeting hot air, I thought maybe you'd do that.
But so you were blown away by the fire.
The fire, I think, blew air. Are you kidding me? What are you talking about, a fire? Remember my wife called me. And she said, Jay, you better get over to the substation because Sub-Commander Gleason is going ape. He's crawling a wall like a monkey. And I said, what's going on with him? She said, because there's fire. And I said, what? I didn't quite understand.
Wait. Let me interrupt you for a minute. What do you mean you didn't understand there'd be fire?
What are you talking about, Santos?
Look, I'll do this.
I didn't understand. Fire is not something you readily think of when you think of California. I mean, yeah, you do.
Fire is the number, I would say, is the number one natural disaster in California, outside of earthquakes.
No, I would disagree with that. I think the number one natural disaster in California is, we're still waiting on it, and that's going to be the tsunami after a major earthquake, if we get to Big Eight. You know, if we roll eights, we roll a nine, you know.
No, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean if we roll an eight?
Are you talking about the Richter scale, my friend?
Yes, sir, I am, General.
Well, then have a little respect, because that scares the living hell out of a lot like me. I like to think that I've got guts to burn, but when it comes to earthquakes, I'm nothing but a little bitch. And I'm sorry to put it that way.
I'm sorry, General, I didn't mean to scare you.
Well, I...
Are you all right, General?
Yes.
You're scared, huh?
I get scared of earthquakes, yes. I am brave in every other capacity. But if an earthquake ever strikes in the middle of battle, I'm nothing but a little girl under a bed.
Well, my hat is off to you, General, for admitting that. I will tell you that I don't think anyone really expects fire. I think number one, like I said, a tsunami.
What do you mean a tsunami, man? Are you talking about a tsunami?
God, what are you getting all...
Phil, relax.
No, I'm not going to relax. I'm listening to this guy now for a half hour. You haven't said a thing. You're talking about...
Let me ask that thing. I'd come in here on a limousine.
That's great. You came in by way of our limousine to sit down and to talk about whatever it is you're going to talk about. And I'm not sure. You're saying a tsunami. You mean a tsunami? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, the tsunami. You remember a tsunami hit Japan? Oh, wow. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I did hear about that, Jay. I heard about that. Yes, I did. Uh-huh. But if you say that the number one natural disaster threat in California is a tsunami as the result of an earthquake, I would say to you, we've had far more fires, we've had far more flooding damage, far more mudslide damage, and which is resultant from the fires that burn off all that ground cover, than we've ever had in terms of the real threat of earthquake, or as you call it, a tsunami. Okay?
Or whatever you call it. I mean, not, you know.
No sense in holding his feet to the fire on that. Nobody know how to pronounce that.
Yeah.
I do. Tsunami.
Yeah, but there's a T in it.
It doesn't matter, you moron. You don't pronounce the T. It's tsunami. Tsunami.
Yeah.
Tsunami. Learn it.
Okay, bud. General?
I know it's called a tsunami. I just don't know what this brain-dead idiot's trying to say when he says that he doesn't understand what fire is.
I understand what fire is. It just never occurred to me. That's number one.
You live in California. You're the member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. You're out here to try to, quote, save lives, and it never occurred to you that fires are really serious out here.
No. And again, I would hasten to add, Mr. Henry, that, yeah, there's a bad fire, but it took everybody by surprise. I'm standing around trying to find it with both hands. I scrambled up as many of my subcommanders as I could in the Glendora area, and we were looking around, went to police, said, okay, what can we do? You know, what's going on around here? And he said, there's a fire, and we're getting the fire trucks in here now. Could you move your car? And I said, well, okay, we'll move our car, but what do you need? What do you need? I got what you need. I got what you want. You know, and
all right. So instead of just standing there, or in addition to standing there and babbling at the car.
I wasn't babbling, Mr. Henry.
Well, it sounds like that's what you were doing. You're standing there babbling to some cop. What can I do? How can I help? He's telling you to move your cars. What else did you do?
What else we did, Mr. Henry, is we told people to slow it down. We didn't want to see nobody chickening out. And a lot of times what happens when you do have fire is you don't want to have a chicken out factor. Now, I try to explain this to people and understand. California is in the eye of the media right now when it comes to this fire. If we're out there going chicken and getting yellow and chickening out, that is going to be reflective. So the first thing I say is, okay, do you really have to leave? So, well, he told us to evacuate. I'll say, okay, but do you really feel like you need to leave? You want to go back up there, but the one thing you don't want to do is look like you're chicken, okay? That's what I call chicken out.
What? What are you chicken out, man? If they told you to leave.
That's about the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Well, it doesn't surprise me. I come on this program, I get abused.
Jay, nobody's trying to abuse you, man. The chicken out factor, meaning that the country will turn on the news.
Look, Phil, don't sit there and talk to me like you're a psychiatrist and I'm just one more guy with a big scar across the front of a bald head, like you just went in and took out a piece of my brain so I'd calm down. And you're trying to tell me that I'm nuts.
No. I'm not. I'm asking you, in all honesty, do you think it matters whether the rest of the country sees us as chicken or not? If we got to get out of these fire areas, we got to get out of these fire areas. And it doesn't make any difference if it's the chicken out factor. And I'm not looking at you as if you got a bald head with a scar across the top of it, like somebody just... Man.
You owe an apology, by the way, to my brother-in-law, because that's exactly... He has a bald head with a scar across the front of it. And a few other scars. He's missing one of his eyes. And he's missing a couple of his teeth. And he still could tear you in half, Jay, with one hand while eating breakfast with the other. Thank you.
So I will take that as a threat then, Ms. Gray. Ms. Gray?
Thank you.
Ms. Gray, did she threaten me?
I don't know, Jay, but we have to take a break now. Thank you very much for being with us. And we certainly do feel better that you're out there, you know, taking care of biz and all that baloney. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com. And what is this, bud? Let's, you know. All right, anyway, we'll be right back. Thank you, Jay. Appreciate it.
I just want to know, she called me chicken or not?
She didn't call you chicken. You're calling everybody else chicken. We'll be right back.
Did you call me chicken?
I didn't call you chicken. I said, you bug me.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. We've been sitting here listening to just this raucous blues music. And, okay, so let's turn that stuff down. And I've been actually just checking into the various news sources that we have on the fire, the raging wildfires in L.A. Apparently, if I'm reading this right, the firefight continues in the 1,700-acre Colby Fire blaze, 30% contained. All right, so I don't see a whole lot of panic going on. And I'm getting this off a L.A. site.
Well, KTLA Channel 5, I think, is very, very reliable. I don't like to go with any of these national sources.
What about the L.A. Times?
The L.A. Times would be local, don't you think?
Yeah, well,
the L.A. Times, they have a lot of national stuff.
I know they've got a lot of national stuff, but I'm talking about the local news is what you want.
All right, well, according to Channel 5 here in Los Angeles, which does have a very good local news bureau, hundreds of firefighters are battling a wildfire Thursday in the San Gabriel Mountains north of Glendora that quickly spread to 1,700 acres. Now, I don't see that number increasing. I believe that was the acreage that they were giving early on. The Colby Fire destroyed five homes, damaged 17 other structures after breaking out at approximately 5:50 this morning. The blaze 30% contained by 4:30 this afternoon. Helicopters, and it, right now here on the West Coast, is 9:30, so that was, you know, 5 hours ago. Helicopters with night vision goggles were set to work overnight in support of firefighters on the ground and to protect homes and people. Let me tell you some of these guys that are the cats that are flying around up there. You see a lot of choppers, and the reason why you see the helicopters is they're looking for hot spots.
But they have got the water and everything.
They do have the water. They are carrying some of them. Most of that, though, they're carried by airplanes, I should say, not helicopters. The helicopters, though, they are looking for other hotspots because, as has been mentioned on the show, you know, if you see one hotspot, you see it's possible that you'll see other hotspots. So we want to thank Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police for being with us here. They got a picture here, the mugshot of these three guys.
Boy, look at these three guys. Look like three of the greasiest creeps I've ever seen.
Now, hold on for a minute. It's kind of it's a drag because it's not a drag. I mean, I'm glad that these men have been booked and that they will, you know, face some judgment. But here's the thing. These firebugs, man, these psychopathic firebugs, these individuals who, like a serial murderer, or like any serial criminal that commits a crime for the power that it gives him or her, that's what these firebugs are, and these are the guys that you really got to look out for. These three men made a mistake that they're going to pay for, and they turned themselves into the police, and they've owned up to their culpability. I'm not saying that these guys ought to get some kind of brownie points, and I'm not saying that, but the fact is the real dangerous people out there when it comes to fires are these arsonists who intentionally start fires to take lives, to destroy as much property as they possibly can. And the whole reason for that is a control issue that they have. Most of these cats are losers. You know, they live in a world where they are probably not noticed. They don't have a job that they think is worthy of them. They don't have a position in life that they think is worthy of them. They got a naggy-ass wife. They got a bunch of kids that are screaming and yelling. The world doesn't recognize their genius and their marvelousness. They should be farther along than they are, and, you know, and so it goes. And that's just a symptom of how jacked up these people are mentally. So in order to control the world, you know.
Well, what makes you the big expert on this?
I've done a lot of reading on this stuff. I've done a lot of studying on this stuff.
Yeah, it doesn't make you not an expert or nothing.
Well, I think I've got to agree with them. You're just another jackass with an opinion.
Absolutely. And I'm proud to be another jackass with an opinion. But my opinion is backed up with information. Okay?
Yeah, but Phil, when you say that and you point your finger in the air like you're some Bible thumper, it really gives me the creeps.
What are you talking about, put my finger in the air?
Right when you said, I study, you put your finger in the air like you're some Bible-banging creep.
Excuse me.
That's better. Just, you know, keep your hands down at your side. Don't put them toward me.
What is it with you anyway, huh?
Yeah, she's all weird.
I'm not weird. I'm feeling very vulnerable.
Why?
I don't know. All of you people tonight, you look grimy and creepy.
Oh, get out of here, will you? Go, Margaret, why don't you split if it's bugging you so much?
It's not bugging me that much.
Anyway, these three guys, Stephen Aguirre, Clifford Eugene, Clifford Eugene Henry and Jonathan Carl Jarrell are shown in their booking photos here. And these three guys are, you know, they're going to be meeting. They're going to be standing tall before the man. Now, the firebugs, though, and did you see the one that we saw the other night?
Yeah, that guy was messed up, man.
Well, what was it?
This guy was a fire. He was a firefighter, and he set fires.
Yeah, this guy that they were talking about on the news, this guy was a pretty famous here in the L.A. area at some point. I forget the year we're talking about, but he was a fireman.
And he was starting fires.
And he was starting fires. Just like that lady in the Rocky Mountains in Colorado, wasn't she a...
Oh, she was a park ranger.
Yeah, she was a park ranger. And she needed some attention, and she needed some love, and she wanted people to pay attention to her big, fat, stupid ass. So she starts a fire.
Phil, that is very sexist.
Are you kidding me? She started a fire that killed wildlife. I think she even killed somebody. And you're worried about the fact that I called her a fat ass?
There's no need to go there.
Are you nuts or something? Deadly, start a fire.
I know, that killed a bear, and what else?
Hey, Margaret, don't make a joke out of it, okay?
Well, you're calling her a fat ass.
She was a fat ass. And I'll still say she's a... Hey, all the protections of chivalry and fine gentlemanly manners fall to the wayside when you go out and set a fire that takes people's lives. I'm sorry, but I cannot abide that.
Are you sure it killed people and not just a bear?
What if it killed a bear? You know what? I'm not going to talk to you about it, okay?
You just don't want to talk about it.
I'm not going to talk to you about it. Stupid. The three suspects were being held at the Glendora City Jail in lieu of $20,000 bail.
What's that mean?
What's what mean?
In lieu.
Until they post bail. They're being held until they post bail. Once they post bail, and I believe they did make bail between this report and now, so they're out.
Well, one of these guys is homeless, and he posted $20,000 in bail.
Yeah, apparently all you need is 10%. Maybe the other guys came up with the money for him. The three suspects, the damage from the fire has not yet been estimated. Multiple helicopters have been deployed to the scene, and two Super Scooper tanker planes had made water drops from overhead. That was the guy, Steve Bozell, by the way. Do we have Steve Bozell in the green room?
I think we picked up Mr. Bozell, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the football.
I know that, but I want to find out from Bozell about those. Remember those Super Scoopers that were out near his property?
Oh, that clown, and he thought... He thought they were BAing his daughter.
Hey, Steve, come on in. How you doing?
I'm good.
I'm going to go over to microphone two there.
Yeah. How you doing? I'm doing real good, man. You getting ready for the weekend?
Yeah, I'm all ready for it.
Yeah, I hope you are because, man, it's going to be some kind of... How you doing, Phil?
How you doing?
Ms. Gray?
Hello, Steve.
Hey, General.
Mr. Bozell, how are you? Good to meet you. Good to be with you again.
Yes, sir.
So, Steve, we're talking about your property out there in Corona.
Yeah.
And the Super Scoopers.
Yeah, well, you're talking about the LA fire, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we had a small canyon fire up there in Bodega Canyon. And we also had a smaller brush fire, which went up the Barranca in the Dupree Ravine. And those two together... When you put you get the confluence of the Bodega Ravine, Dupree Ravine and the Bodega Canyon, and the two of them come together, now you got yourself a fire.
Right.
And so that's when L.A. County Fire come out. And when they come out with a Super Scooper, I come out the backyard, and my wife did too, and I said, well, I want to make sure they're doing the job right, because that border's right on the backside of my property, Mr. Henry. I don't know if you know about my property, but I got a southeast exposure down to Bodega Ravine, and it runs right on down the gully to the San Gabriel River. And from there, of course, it swoops right on up in the hillside there.
I'm not really familiar.
So you're over in the Corona area.
Yeah, but I'm telling Mr. Henry that once you go out the backside of my property, and I've got that well-fenced, and there's demarcation lines, and you get over to Bodega Ravine, and then you move on down, and it swoops, you know.
What do you mean it swoops?
I mean it comes down off the ravine and goes, wee, just almost, it's almost like a slide, and it goes right on up, you see, right on up in that hillside. That's when L.A. Fire come out,
Was there fire down in that ravine there?
Yeah, it was coming up the backside of that. See, it was coming up that hill toward my property is what I'm trying to say. And L.A. County Fire come out, and they were using some of the water out of that pond that I've got on the back quarter acre that I have. I got a good-sized pond, so they're scooping some of the water out of that because that was the closest large body of water. I think maybe there might be one other one. You can go over here to the to Elsinore Reservoir. And then they went down and did the drop. Now, when they come back, I distinctly remember a young blonde-haired firefighter. I could see the L.A. Fire uniform on him, but he had the pants down, and he pressed on the, it was pressed ham all the way. It was a pressed ham for about 300 yards. Okay?
What do you mean it was a pressed ham for
Okay, I mean...
Well, Steve, you got to understand. These idiots are going to laugh.
I understand that, but that's my daughter we're talking about, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I recognize that. Okay, it's just the way you have of putting things. So your daughter was standing there with you.
April Jr.'s out there with her mother and my son, Steve Jr. All four of us were watching L.A. County Fire do their job, and we're very appreciative of the job they do. Now they come around. They'd gotten done with Bodega Ravine, got done with Dupree Canyon. They're going to make a run over, I think, over there at Millipede Creek. I'm not sure, because the fire was starting to creep up the side there. And they're fighting it. Now they come back out, and I saw this blonde-haired young firefighter in the window of the Super Scooper plane. Would be on the starboard side. And my wife clocked it, and I said about 300 yards from the back fence to the rear section of my home. That's about 300 yards of pressed ham on the window. And the reason I'm saying that, because I had to be specific on that. My daughter's looking at that. It's 300 yards with one count, 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, 1,004. That's 4 full seconds of the ham, of the bare ham or bare ass up on a window, just pressed on the glass. And that's when I went ahead and I said, that enough's enough. And I went straight for my cell phone.
All right. So you made a complaint to L.A. Fire?
Yes, I did.
And what did they say?
They said they knew the young man in question. They said they were not aware of any ham. They said, what do you mean by pressed ham? I said, I'm using the colloquial terms you understand. They said, we're not aware of any ham. Anything. I said, no, pressed ham.
Well, why are you using such an asinine term? Why don't you say that he indecently exposed himself to your daughter?
Because I wanted them to know the specific of it, of the butt getting pressed up on the glass.
All right. Well, you could have said that.
Okay, I could have said that. I said something else. God, man, what's the big deal? My daughter.
You're right, but I, we're having a hard time here understanding some of the terms you're using. Not that I don't understand the terms, but I'm not exactly sure. So for 300 yards, you say your daughter is staring at some guy's ass pressed against the window of a Super Scooper aircraft that had just dropped water on a fire behind your house. Now, I don't know that he's... How do you know he wasn't just doing that to you as a joke?
Well, if it was intended to me, and I told him that, I said, if that's intended for me, and this guy's got he's got a full glass ass, which is what I call, that's what we call it in Knoxville, when you press ham, that's glass, that's ass on the glass for 300 yards. I said, brother, all bets are off on that.
Hold on, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. And Steve, thank you. I don't mean to give you a hard time. Steve Bozell is with us. I wanted to get a little bit more from you. All right, so we understand the fire and whatever's going to happen there with LA Fire. It's a good thing they were on hand to put the fire out, though, right?
I got no problem with the LA Fire and the job they do controlling fire and protecting our homes and everything. But when one has got full ass, keep saying full ass. I know what I'm saying. If a guy's got full ass, on my daughter is standing there, and this guy's doing it's a full BA.
Okay, I think, but maybe in the future you could just use terms like indecently exposing himself. But we don't know that that happened at all, do we?
Are you kidding me? I mean, I saw a guy press the ham. God,
would you stop, please? We understand what you're saying, Steve.
I can't make myself understood unless I use the terminologies that I understand.
Do you understand what indecent exposure is?
Yes, sir.
Then why do you got to keep saying pressed ham?
Because that's what It was. I mean, I don't know any other way of saying it. Everybody I know knows what that, you know what that is. Ms. Gray, you know.
No, I don't know what pressed ham is. No, I don't. Now I do.
So, all right. So thank you for that. Now, this weekend, we've got the AFC Championship game. We have the NFC Championship game. Bud, you and Steve are going to be calling the action. I'd just like to go between the two of you. Steve, who do you see in the AFC Championship game winning?
Well, you got the Denver Broncos. You got the New England Patriots. The Patriots are on the road. They play, they've not played well on the road in playoffs. You got Peyton Manning with a lot to prove. But I want to tell you something about Peyton Manning. I've seen him do it to the pooch. You know what I'm saying, Bud?
Yeah, Peyton Manning throws picks at the end of football game like Grant took Richmond.
Yeah, no kidding. And
like Grant took Richmond.
Well, he does. So I think that, but the Patriots being on the road might give the Denver Broncos the edge they need. I think Peyton Manning got a lot. He's bringing a lot to the table here. I think he's got a lot to prove. I think he dogged it and did the pooch last year when he was with the in Indianapolis Colts. I think he put it to the pooch a number of times. And so if you're asking me who, because of the home team environment.
Would you get to it and make a pick, please?
Forget it.
No, hey, Steve.
Oh, never mind.
Thanks a lot, Margaret.
Well, for God's sake, Phil, he's...
You know what, lady? I hope you meet Satan, and he says, room for one more.
Yeah, I'll bet you do.
That's right.
Steve, come on.
No, forget it. Forget it.
But what's your pick?
For what?
For the AFC game.
I'm going to go with a Denver Bronco, because I think, and that's who I know Steve was going to pick, but Margaret... She messed that up.
I didn't mess up anything.
Yeah, you did. Get all... I'm going to go to Denver Bronco. Yeah, that's who I picked, too.
Oh, so you're making the pick even though you're standing out in the hallway like a child.
That's right.
All right, so both you guys... Now let's take the NFC Championship game, the San Francisco 49ers, Seattle Seahawks.
Well, it's kind of hard to pick against, but I'm going to go with the Seahawks in this one because they're going to be at home, and I think Pete Carroll... is a better coach.
Really? You think Pete Carroll outcoaches Jim Harbaugh in this one?
Yeah.
Steve, wherever you are?
I want to say the 49ers, because I think Colin Kaepernick...
And that, see, this is, he doesn't get the name right.
Excuse me, but he's asking me a question.
Are you going to yell, or are you going to come in here and sit at the mic?
I'll yell it. I think Colin Kaepernick is going to do the do and the funky chickens, too. You watch me.
Watch you?
Yeah.
So you guys disagree on that. So Bud's picking the Seahawks, and Steve, you're going with the 49ers in the NFC title game. Both of these knuckleheads, and I say that with all due respect, both of them will be on hand to provide their commentary on Phil TV for both the AFC Championship and NFC Championship game. So join us on Phil TV in HD on Saturday and on Sunday as Steve and Bud hold forth here from the Henry Broadcast Center at El Pacifico. They'll be on Phil TV as they watch and comment on not just the game, but also the statistics. And if you guys ever get it figured out, that is.
Oh, my God. Frank was watching, and he said, you two clowns can't figure out that NFC, the NFL Game Center.
Yeah, we can. Got it figured out. It took a while, but I got it figured out.
Well, you guys are going to have to get a little bit quicker on the trigger on that thing. So anyway, that'll be this weekend on Phil TV in HD. Thank you very much, Steve.
Yeah, uh-huh.
What's hey Steve? Why are you standing in the hallway?
I'm not going to be in there made fun of because I said pressed ham.
Well, I know what a pressed ham is.
All right, we're not talking about that anymore. So there you go. And you know, I was going to tell Nikki a story because we were listening to the Steve Miller Band. I was going to tell her why I hate the song Jungle Love by Steve Miller. I don't know if I'm going to have the time to do it though.
Well, you've got a couple of minutes.
I was playing Fly Like an Eagle. She says, you know, I got a minute. I won't have it. It has to do with tonsillitis and my car running out of gas. And the middle of the night. It's 2 o'clock in the morning, and my car has run out of gas. I'm on my way over to a pharmacy to get a prescription filled that was, you know, that was given to me by the doctor.
Let's take a trip down Whipple!
All right, yeah. And anyway, and this was me. No, I'm kidding. So I run out of gas on my way to get this prescription. By the time I got to the pharmacy, my throat is on fire from tonsillitis. It's 2 a.m. I walk into the pharmacy, and they're playing Jungle Love by the Steve Miller Band. Well, naturally, I hated it, and I've hated it ever since. I'm Phil Hendry.
The Phil Hendry Show is brought to you by philhendryshow.com and the Phil Hendry online store. Get a t-shirt or a hat or some damn thing.